I'm still sick. I'm sick for a week. What's up, Yap Squad? And welcome back to another episode of the Re-Yap of the Skeleton Crew. I am Brooke. If you're new here, I'm with my co-host, Sawyer, and our guest co-host for the Skeleton Crew Recaps, Megs Megalorian. Thank you for being here once again.
Oh my god, thank you for having me. It's been so much fun.
Yeah, and this is going to be our last Yap of the year.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Crazy. So I think you listen to this, it'll be the day before. It'll be New Year's Eve Eve.
Oh wow.
Yes.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Which is also Skeleton Crew Eve.
Woo! It's also Skeleton Crew Eve. Yeah, so please, if you're here, thanks for being here. If you want to yap with us as you prepare for episode 6 of Skeleton Crew, that's what we're here for. Make sure to like and subscribe. I don't know. My brain is like mush today, man. How's everybody's holidays? Just a quick little.
So good. Cold.
So good. Yeah. Oh, cold.
Oh, yeah, my gosh.
No, I got to have 2 Christmases, which was nice.
That's exciting. Nice.
Yes. I know, I got to see my whole family, which I haven't in a very long time, so that was really fun.
Very good nice. Yeah.
How about you, Brooke?
It was chill. I've been sick, so not a lot happening in this household. you can probably
that's okay.
Tell.
Sometimes that's nice.
Yeah, no, I definitely needed the break. So regardless, it's nice. I did get some new stuff for my setup. I got new headphones because my other ones were broken.
Cute.
They're nice and pink. And I got a new mouse that's also pink. And I've never talked about my keyboard, but I got this, it was either last Christmas or 2 Christmases ago now. But it's a keyboard that looks like this, and it has little frogs on it, and it's called Strawberry Frog.
Oh my gosh.
I'm obsessed with that.
Yeah. So if you're watching on YouTube, I just held up my little ducky keyboard and it's got little frogs on it, and it was literally called Strawberry Frog. So now my whole setup kind of matches. And hopefully I get a new chair soon. And I will also make sure that matches, because it's funny, I don't like pink that much, but I do when it's like part of the gamer aesthetic.
Yeah.
Anyway, without further ado, I don't think we have any housekeeping. Yap Sesh is
don't forget
be...
about our Discord.
Oh yes, please join our Discord. If you join our Patreon, which we also have at our $1 tier, you get access to our Discord, where we're there. Some previous guests that we've had on are in there. It's a great place for you to talk about the episodes or suggest topics for us, because it's hard, you know, to keep this noggin thinking about what we're going to talk about next. And I think we're going to start doing some like watch parties and game nights and things.
Yeah.
We haven't really fleshed that out, but it's something like that's going to happen. And hopefully Yap Sesh will be returned in its full glory in 2025. Cause Sawyer's done with school.
Woo!
Yay. Almost done with school. Fingers double crossed. But hopefully with that we'll have a lot more time to schedule and have some cool guests on. So thanks for bearing with us in this time of stress, as they say. But anyway, I think let's get into Skeleton Crew episode 5.
Yes.
So this episode,
oh my god,
it was silly, but like in the best way.
I agree. Mm-hmm.
This episode was called You Have a Lot to Learn About Pirates, which I'm going to talk about that in a second. It was directed by Jake Schreier, who is the director of the upcoming Thunderbolts MCU film. And then it was written by, I'm going to butcher her name, Young Jo Westner. This is her, like, from what I could see, her first big writing credit. She's written for other television series, including a show called High Potential and then another show called Death and Other Details. So to go from that to Star Wars is awesome. And I really liked this episode, so that was really cool. Mm-hmm. And the Disney Plus synopsis of this episode is called A Seemingly Pleasant World Will Test Our Heroes Like No Other. Non-spoiler thoughts, y'all?
Oh my god. I loved this episode so much. I feel like episode 5 is always the one where they like kick things into gear into like times 10. Mm-hmm. So I feel like this episode was like a perfect like, oh, crap's getting real. Like we're going now. And I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was such a fun episode and so shocking, especially for it to be the Christmas Eve episode. It was mm-hmm. so much fun. And the way it ends was like, oh my goodness.
Oh my goodness.
How do I have to wait another week for this? But it was very exciting. Probably my favorite episode of the whole show so far.
I would agree.
Yeah. I liked this one a lot. It was like, it was really silly and added to like the Star Wars universe. We got our first Star Wars pleasure planet or pleasure resort. Unless mm-hmm. you want to count Canto Bite, but this is like kind of a different version.
I feel like that's more of like the like Las Vegas kind of vacation vibe. This was more like a hot spring chill kind of vibe, you know, like Iceland.
Iceland, yeah, it was definitely like, it was like a spa. That's what they said.
Yeah.
So I thought that was cool because I think we talked about it with the first two episodes that a lot of people didn't love that it was like suburbia, but I kind of love that there are things in Star Wars that reflect stuff that we also have because the universe is so vast. Why wouldn't it?
It's a whole galaxy. There's all kinds of stuff going on.
And they really pulled out all the stops for the planet of Lanupa because mm-hmm. there were so many different aliens. We saw a hut. We saw mm-hmm. someone.
Was it Rada?
I don't think so. Was my question.
I was like, wow, it's Jeremy Allen White. Maybe. Our first look.
He said, OMG.
listeners, if you don't know, there was a Deadline article, or Variety, I think, that came out a few weeks ago and said that Jeremy Allen White was cast as Rada the Hutt, Jabba's son, or the voice of, for the Mandalorian movie, which has not been confirmed by Lucasfilm. But I think it's hilarious if it's true, because you go from Lip Gallagher to Carmi Bearzado to Rada the Hutt to Stinky.
What a lineup.
Honestly.
And I feel like Stinky's the most iconic of those roles. For sure.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Anyway, moving on. So we start the episode off where they are re-waking 33 after his very terrifying attack on the kids last week. And it looks like KB had reprogrammed him to be less aggressive towards their questions about Atten, where he still has the location. But he doesn't have the location. I can't remember why they went to Lanupa. They still need the coordinates.
He says that the coordinates are in his old captain's lair.
That's right. Okay, so he knew.
Yes.
He didn't have them on his person. But he knew where they were.
He knew where to find them.
Yes. Yeah, he knew where to get them.
Yeah, so that is where we find, we get some Star Wars pirate lore, where apparently 33 was the on the crew of Tak Renad, or Renad. Doesn't say when, like how old this pirate is or how long ago he was a pirate, but apparently according to Jod is like one of the most renowned pirates in the galaxy, and that the ship that they're on is called the Onyx Cinder, which I think is kind of a sick name.
It's giving like Chester Copperpot in Goonies, you know.
Yes, I think this episode highlighted the Goonies parallels very heavily. Very heavily. Yep. This, and it gave me a big Indiana Jones vibe as well.
Yeah. Which I would agree.
I think they're like encompassing all of these 80s films, and Indy is one of those. I'm trying to think. Oh, so before we go to the planet, we are met with a upset Wim. Poor little Wim is all sad. And Jod finds him and reluctantly goes to console him, which I thought was like, I know that this, my brand of character is like reluctant, adopted, grumpy dad, but I feel as though Jod is more of like a babysitter or an older brother.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even though he is like father age, like he could be their dad. Like, I don't know, the vibes that I get are kind of like older brother vibes.
Yeah, I'm not getting Joel Miller from Jod at all.
Yeah.
No, I'm definitely getting like older sibling.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is where we get a line drop of Jod tells Wim, your focus determines your reality. And I was like, oh. He said the thing. Interesting. Which is a callback, if you don't know, to Qui-Gon talking to Anakin in I almost said The Force Awakens, The Phantom Menace, where he tells Anakin the exact same thing. So, do we think Jod is a Jedi? Or was a Jedi?
No.
I it's so specific of a line that I'm like, I'm like, they could have changed the wording and made it like different. You know what I mean? So I'm like, were you somewhere? But I'm also like, I don't know what he was, and it's driving me crazy.
If he was a Jedi at any point, he was taken by pirates as a youngling, and like, yeah, that's it.
Ooh, that's, yeah, possible too.
I definitely think we've gotten rid of the he's using magnets theory. I think he's definitely, yeah, using the Force. He, mm-hmm, uses the Force, sure, quite a bit in this episode in ways, yeah, that out in the open where it has to be the Force, but I do not think, I also think it's very possible that he's just very well read on the Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like pirates are very well informed about that sort of thing. They have to be all knowing in a lot of ways in order to navigate, sure, the universe the way that they do. So that's my theory.
I think my theory is, because I think when it came out that Jod was going to be some sort of Jedi, I don't remember, it was stated in articles, and Jude Law talked about it, a lot of people were like, oh, another survivor of Order 66, like we have so many now, but I don't think, like, I agree, I think he was taught as a Jedi. Maybe he was in the temple when he was younger and then was either taken or left, because
yeah,
he does seem to have those like foundational ideas that they teach you when you're a youngling, but the way that he utilizes those ideologies tells, it's like a very immature level of understanding, which makes me think that he didn't grow up and become like a knight, you know what I mean, like he took his lessons that he learned when he was a kid and like applied them,
yeah,
to this piracy. That's like kind of the vibe that I'm getting. So who knows if we'll actually get the origin of where he came from, maybe if there's a season two.
Yeah,
but yeah, I thought that line was really cool. I love that little callback to The Phantom Menace.
Me too.
And then they go to Lanupa, which they didn't know was Lanupa. What did 33 call it? Skull Mountain.
I think it was
something like that.
Something like that. It sounded very piratey. much cooler than Lanupa. But then it turns out that they're on this planet that has this resort and spa. And it said, like,
that is adults only.
Adults only, yes. So I loved that bit where all the kids were yelling. And we're like, oh, those children. Like, you know, this is an adult only resort. So I love the way that they dressed the kids up as the wise elders.
Oh my god, their little outfits, I just was eating that up. I like, and I love the way they came down from the ship too.
Yeah,
how they didn't just come down the ramp, like Jod was like motioning and he was like, oh shoot, they're not coming, and then they just like come down on this, like, I don't even know what it was, like, was it a leg of the ship or like,
I just know that like they had a plan set in place, and then one of them was like, guys, you know, it would be so cool if we did instead. As Jod was like waiting out there. Oh, it's so good. It reminded me of Jawas. Like, I feel like that's how Jawas.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then being like tiny with the little hoods.
Trench coat.
Literally. And I loved the like language they did.
The whatever, I don't even know what they said. They were like, they just started yapping, and I was like, all right. Yeah. And then also SM33 being like shrunken in. That was also really funny. All of his little extensions were just like
the poor restraining bolt.
Oh my gosh, that was so funny.
That was a good bit. Yeah. He was like, why I oughta, and then just electrocuted. Yeah, so this is like the first time that we've seen this kind of spa
thing. I also go ahead. To backtrack for like 2 seconds.
Please do.
Them talking about Captain Renard on the ship, when it like panned to all of them sitting there, like it was like story time with SM33. That I ate that up. That like iconic. And I just
it reminded me of like if you ever like, or if your parents ever make a reference to you that you don't understand, or like making a reference to kids younger than you, or like a generation younger than you, and you're like, all right, crickets, cool.
You're like,
yeah. Or even just making a reference about anything that other people are like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about, and you're like, well, it was funny to me.
Just love.
Cool. But yeah, we get to this place and Jod bribes them all with money, with the Old Republic credits.
Or tries, but he gets interrupted.
Yes, he gets interrupted by a lady, and her name is Pocket. And she is, I don't know what species she is, but the first thing I thought of was that she reminds me of Orla Jereni.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she does. I didn't even think of that. Or a lot of people are saying she's Umbaran. But is Orla Umbaran?
I think
so. No, she's not. Or is she?
I think she is when I looked it up.
Oh, she was. She was Umbaran. Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't. There's, I feel like, you know. Who is the guy from Jedi Survivor that's also like the white hair and the, oh my god, why can't I think of his name right now?
Oh, Dagon Yara?
Yeah, Dagon. Is he also an Umbaran? Let me look, actually.
I don't think so. I think he's something else, but I also saw that comparison as well.
Looks very similar.
Arcanian. Arcanian offshoot.
Oh, all right.
What does that mean?
Okay. So we have a couple looking of options.
A page with information from a site that I don't want to promote. Subspecies of the Arcanian race.
Interesting.
Yeah. Hmm. So she looks similar to either of those, Umbaran or Arcanian. So I don't know. But the actress is played by the voice. She's the voice actor of Merida from Brave.
Yes.
Which is great.
My mom looked over at me and was like, why does she sound so familiar? And I was like, she was in Brave. And my mom was like, immediately went, if you had the chance to change your fate, would you? And I was like, thanks, Mom.
That's great. Yeah, she sounded familiar to me too, but I think I've only seen Brave like one time. So I was like, I don't know. Usually I'm pretty good with voices, but if it's not something I'm super familiar with, it's not as easy. Mm-hmm. But I thought her character was really cool. I was like, the gears were turning. I was like, how would I make that a wig? as one does, as cosplayers do. But I thought she was cool, and she's a bounty hunter. And I don't know, was it explained? Did she just also happen to be there, or was she tracking him previously?
I think she just happened to be there. And she recognizes him as Dash Zentin, not as any of the other names that we've heard before. So we add yet another name to the roster.
Yeah, I said at the same time as the kids, like, how many names does this guy have?
So many aliases.
But she quickly is like, I couldn't find any record of a Dash Zenton. And so immediately we find out they're in trouble because she's a bounty hunter. And maybe she was on vacation, but now she has an opportunity.
Yes.
She's like, so, maybe I can make some coin.
And God. I can't even believe last week I was like, how are the other pirates going to find Jod? I didn't even think about bounty hunters.
Yeah, and how they had literally said, like, we're going to find you. And then, you know, we have this whole thing in the Star Wars universe where they look for people.
I didn't think about it either. She said bounty hunter, and I was like, oh my God, are we going to see the Mandalorian? And I was like, wait, he's not. I don't think he's bounty hunting anymore at this point. Although we don't know. I guess we don't know when Skeleton Crew is taking place in relation to the timeline of the Mandalorian. We just know it's in that same era.
That's true.
So, I don't know. He could have showed up. Who knows?
He could have been like, hey.
I was really hoping for a Hondo or a Lando appearance in this episode. Like, it's a very far-reaching thing, but as soon as they said pleasure planet, I was like, Lando? Lando would be there, right?
He would be hanging out.
Yeah. Even Hondo, but less, like less. It would make sense for him to be there less than Lando. But alas, it's okay. I'm still, you know, holding out hope that we'll get some sort of fun cameo. If not, that's okay, because that's not what makes a show good. Just want to put that out there to the listeners. That is not what makes a show good. I just like to be a fan that is serviced. So then the band splits up, as they say, to go.
They're looking for
the entrance,
the cavern, or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Yes, they're looking for the wherever the entrance is for the secret lair of Renod. And
they all say it different.
Yeah, it's the Star Wars. That's how it goes. And then we're introduced to, did he have a name? The big octopus guy?
I believe it was Catholops.
Yes, because it. I thought it was a play on Cthulhu, because it was a very Cthulhu-looking guy. I loved that little, you thought he was going to, it was so like 80s movie, so like kids movie, you think that this guy's going to be dangerous, and then they come down to like save Fern, and they're just telling stories, and he's like, and then what happened?
They're just besties hanging out, you know?
I loved it.
So good.
It was good. And then he just randomly had a morning star as a tentacle.
Yeah, what?
And was like, here, I can help you out. And just like blew a hole in the ground for them.
I like that he just helps them. And like, there's no kind of exchange there. He's just like, yeah, like, you know, he's like, I'll get you in. He doesn't even ask like to get any of whatever they're looking for. He's like, yeah.
He's like, sure. You told me a good story. That's good enough for me.
Good enough exchange, I think.
Cool. So we go through, we get down to this place, and there is what looks like water, but it is not water. It is acid.
Mm-hmm.
And KB, I think, is what finds the writing on the wall and translates it.
Yeah, because it was like up above them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this was very reminiscent to me of like indie and the Uncharted games and Tomb Raider, where there's like puzzles to get to like the next area. So the puzzle was whatever, you know, life's greatest sacrifice, and KB, being, you know, a kid, is like, oh, dying, that is the life's biggest sacrifice, so somebody's gonna have to sacrifice themselves. And this whole episode, really, I like that Jod kind of gave them that, like, adult perspective on their, like, you know, childlike view of the world. And in not in a way where it's, like, tarnishing their innocence in any way, but it's just like, hey, the world is a lot bigger than you think it is. And there's, like, a lot. I think that's been kind of a common theme throughout the show, especially with episode 4 and 5. He thinks.
Yeah. I also like that he didn't outright give them the answer. Like, when they're trying to figure out, like, he knew pretty much immediately what the sacrifice would be, but he let them, he kind of led them to figure it out themselves, so that, and I kind of like that. It's like when you're teaching kids, they gotta like problem solve, and he's like, how would you do it? And like, all of this is happening while they find out that the pirates are at the planet, and so they're like trying to figure it out and get down there before they all get down there, and it's very good. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, my question is, and maybe this is not me being nitpicky, because it doesn't affect my feelings on the episode whatsoever, but like, when the acid drains, I'm like, isn't there still acid on the ground?
I had that thought.
Which is, you know, you gotta suspend some disbelief there, but I was just like, oh no, they're gonna get acid all over their shoes and burn their feet. But they make it through and they get to this secret lair that's full of treasure.
Woohoo!
And a really cool, like, throne.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was like a skeleton, but also like a droid at the same time. It was like the vibe that I got from how it looked. Very, like, kind of High Republic-y. Kind of.
I feel like we keep getting a lot of like little hints of like High Republic and Old Republic stuff, like throughout. Like, it feels almost like, because I keep seeing people talk about like where they think stuff is coming from on social media, and I think that it's very interesting how it feels like there's almost kind of an overlap between the High Republic and Old Republic stuff. Like, it, some of this stuff might have come like right when the eras were kind of shifting, and so I think that the has been a very interesting detail that like we can't even pinpoint exactly which one it's in, because it feels like it's kind of in the middle of both, you know.
But that brings me to another thing, is that in that room Wim finds a lightsaber.
He does, and it does look like a very High Republic lightsaber.
It does,
the gold and such
makes me think that however old this pirate was, it had to have been, like, my feelings are that he was probably around before the Nihil, because the Nihil were kind of like the pirates of the High Republic era.
That's true.
So unless we find out that he was a former Nihil member, or whatever you want to call him, and then became a pirate, but I get the feeling he's older than that.
Yeah, that makes sense, because the Nile were so prominent and there wasn't really room for other pirates during that time period. So I think that, back to what you were saying, Megs, about it being somewhere in between the old and the High Republic, I think is pretty accurate. But that means also that At-Aten and all of the other At-planets were arranged and configured, I guess, during that time, which is very interesting.
I think leads back kind of to the Great Works thing that we talked about, like, in the first two episodes. Like, I really think that it goes back to, like, possibly the planets were constructed and created, or, like, taken over during that High Republic time, and then, like, developed in that, like, in-between time, you know?
Yeah.
I think.
Definitely. Definitely. I agree. I guess we'll just... I don't know if this show is going to have time to, like, really do any tie-ins with High Republic stuff, but I do love the little nods that I think we're getting to High Republic. I wanted to ask, now that we, like, get to it, we get this, like, really choppy hollow of Tak Rented that we can't see his face, we can just hear his voice, and I feel like that is meant to be a reveal later that we might get. Do you guys have any thoughts on who it might be? Someone we knew, or someone we know already, or somebody new?
I don't know if it's somebody we already know, but I did see, I think it was Star Wars Explained who made the connection that from the little bit of outline that we can see, it almost looks like it's Neil's species.
Ooh. Yeah, okay. That's what I saw too.
Which could be very interesting if Neil, the most purest, precious soul of the bunch, is the direct descendant of, because I'm still working with the theory that the supervisor, or at least at one point the supervisor, was Tak Renaud, because he obviously found At Atten. So, you know, it could be that Neil is a descendant of him.
And, okay, wait, piggybacking off the theory, if we're saying that, like, Tak was descendant of Neil and all of that, in the first episode, first or second episode, when we go to Fern's house, they have that mural in the background, and his species was on that, so he could, you know, that could all be connected in some way of, like, he showed up. I gotta look at that mural again, hold on, I'm gonna find it while we're talking, because interesting. I can't remember if he was, like, set apart or not, but I feel like
the poetry connect. Of that, if that were to be true, that, like, Neil, this, like, pure innocent child being the descendant of this, like, swashbuckler, you know, guy who probably did terrible things to get all the treasures that we see. Mm-hmm. That would be a good twist. I feel like, similar to the Acolyte, the mysteries that we think are the show are going to be about, they, like, reveal immediately or, like, in the next episode. So I think that maybe this next episode we'll find out more about Tak Renaud. It could be that the kids fall into this ditch or hole, whoever they, you know, at the end of the episode, they Wim presses the button and gets them out of there. Kind of jumping ahead a little bit, but I'm wondering if we're gonna, like, they're gonna be able to see more, whatever is down there might be more. I feel like next episode would be the time for them to find out who this pirate is, if he is in connection with any of them. I saw somebody else say that they thought it could be 33 is that is Tak Renaud. Which I don't hate that idea, but I don't think I agree.
Yeah.
That would be like an interesting twist, but, like, droids only do what they're told. And so him being like, it wouldn't make sense. Be like, oh, program yourself to pretend that yourself is not yourself. Like, I don't know. That doesn't really make sense to me.
For sure.
Cool. How do y'all feel about the Jawed turn?
Awful. I feel awful about it. I should have seen it coming a mile away. Billy was watching it going like, oh, I knew this was going to happen in this episode, like, obviously. And I was like, no, like, just when I was starting to like Jawed, I had mixed feelings about the character. And then I was like, okay, I like this character. And then,
yeah, I think there is a chance that he could still be, like, not necessarily a bad person. I think that this could be a ploy of some kind, but I also think that he just really wants the treasure. I think that
I think it's so interesting that the treasure is, like, a mint. Like, it's not this rare one of a kind bounty. It's just a mint for credits.
Yeah, no. I guess because it's Old Republic credits, they're more valuable, and it's probably the last living place that's actively making new Old Republic credits. But yeah, so that was an interesting reveal as well, which I had kind of figured something. It was either that or they, like, the whole operation was them just, like, funneling the credits in and out, like, the big treasure was, like, all of the money that's on the planet. I knew that we were going to get some sort of Jawed turn. I just didn't think it was going to be this episode.
Yeah.
It feels early And I mean, mm-hmm. we only have three episodes left, but it still feels, which is like, now I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen in the next couple. I think that there is still a possibility for him to like turn around and do the right thing. Because I know there's going to be some people that are like, he held a knife to Fern's throat. That's unforgivable.
Yeah. Well, but, what, kind of crazy, though. I mean, intense, at least.
It is intense. Mm-hmm. But to me, I don't think that he would actually have killed her. Or like,
yeah, he didn't seem like he wanted to. He did. There was resistance there.
He was preying on their fear. And for sure. He was, you know, he was preying on the expectation that she was going to concede, which she did. Yeah. Or yield. And I don't, yeah, I get the vibe. It was like a threatening thing. It was not like a, I'm going to slit your throat right now.
Yeah, it was more so, I am asserting power and taking over. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And there were multiple instances, I think, throughout this episode. Like I was talking about earlier with Jod kind of like giving them a wider perspective of the world, but also about like what it means to be a pirate. And mm-hmm. I think there was some foreshadowing in there of like, you know, the as they say in Pirates of the Caribbean, like they're more like guidelines, you know, the pirate code. Mm-hmm. And I had specific examples I wanted to talk about, but my brain is just not functioning. but there were like two specific moments in the episode that when I rewatched it the second time that I was like, oh, this is totally foreshadowing Jod betraying them or turning on them to get what he wants. So I thought that was cool.
Yeah, but to be fair, I mean, I think, and this is to prime the audience as much as it is to prime the kids, every single time that they've met somebody that knows Jod, the person is like, do not trust this guy. So
yeah.
It was coming, and I think the kids also had that expectation. They just weren't expecting it to happen at that moment.
Yeah. Oh, Fern was totally suspicious of him the entire time. Mm-hmm. So,
oh yeah,
at least she was that like awareness for sure. I just feel bad for her because that really,
yeah. I know, that had
scary.
I think that whole sequence, like you could just see how afraid they were, and especially because like last episode, they literally got saved by Jod. Mm. Like, you know that I feel like in the kid brain, it's very like, wait, no, you just did this thing. Like, you just saved us. What do you mean you're going to try to kill us? Like, what? Mm-hmm. That kind of, like, linear black and white. Like, that's not how that's supposed to work. Mm-hmm. And so,
yeah. Yeah. I think we're all on the same page where he is probably going to have some sort of redemption by the end of the show. I can see them keeping him like the evil route and them mm-hmm. having to like him dying at the end or crashing the ship at the end and like you don't see him. I hope that they don't do that, because to me, and this is the one complaint that I have accepted Ben Solo's death. It's fine. It is what it is. but to me, I think the more interesting story is if he has to like live with the consequences, and he did have like a redemption turn at the end. I don't think they're going to kill Jod off. That, I don't know. That doesn't make sense to me. But anyway, Star Wars to me is about this like hope and redemption that like you can be a good person despite all of these terrible things that you've done. And this, especially with the found family trope, like think about all of the ships in Star Wars and the people that are in them. Like the crew of people, and they're all like a found family trope. You have like obviously the ghost crew, the Mantis crew from the Jedi games, even Mandalore, like Mando and Grogu, that's found family. Mm-hmm. So I can't see them veering quite that far off that path with this.
Yeah, I don't know what it would take for me to forgive Jod personally.
Like as an audience.
And maybe that's just, I can't see that far into the future as to what's going to happen as the rest of the story plays out. But I don't think he at any point had their full trust. Mm-hmm. So there's like, that's a really high ladder for him to climb to reach complete redemption. I could definitely see him like sacrificing himself, or like maybe there's a moment where he has a change of heart, or like I could see that happening. I just don't know if that's enough for me to be like, oh, you turned out to be a hero of this story. I think, and I don't think that's the direction they're going to go. The kids are the heroes of the story.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. I see Jod, and I think they're intentionally giving a lot of qualities to Jod as Jack Sparrow in the Pirates movies.
Yeah. Where kind of that anti-hero.
Anti-hero. You're never quite sure what he's going to do. He's going to pick the selfish option a lot of the time, but also the thing that he does is part of this like larger plan that you don't think he's capable of because he normally is very impulsive. Like, it gives me that vibe. And obviously that's hard to convey in a show with only 8 episodes, and you had 6 Pirates movies where he does this over and over again. So we'll see. But that's kind of why I think, like, I don't think he's going to be a hero, but I think he's going to maybe kind of like a Han Solo type where he's like, doesn't want to help and then ends up doing the right thing.
Yeah, reluctantly is like, dang.
Yeah. So I can see that. So I don't know if the kids are going to necessarily forgive him, but I could see them being like, wow, you came back and helped, you know, when it was really needed. I'm going to respect you a little bit.
Yeah.
I agree.
That's the vibe. That's the vibe I get.
Like the vibe.
Anything else about this episode?
We didn't talk about Wim's lightsaber moment.
Oh my God. Oh my gosh. We did not. That was so funny. So Wim, as soon as we saw the lightsaber, it was right after Jod was like, don't touch anything. I was like, oh, he's going to pick that saber up. He is it's not like going to be able to resist.
Oh, what's that rule in like media where like if you show the gun will be fired. Like, it's just a matter of when. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. So poor little Wim was going to have his little hero moment. Was holding so the saber upside down. Poor Angel.
I really thought for a minute there, I really thought he was gonna succeed, but what we got was so much better. I think
the fact that we've never seen a saber fully ignited like that is so funny to me, and the fact that it like bashed into the ground because it's longer than him because he's a kid, and so it just like kakoosh, it just was perfect. I was like, you could not have orchestrated a better moment. He immediately just like
That was, I feel like that was maybe a little reality check, because even Jod was like, this isn't one of your stories, which we're seeing, I think, a little bit of growth, like, I don't want to say removal or like killing of innocence because they're still kids and they feel like they have this like whimsy, you know, about them. But a reality check a little bit of like, this isn't a story. Like, you can be here, you can do the right thing, but have realistic expectations. But we end the episode where Jod takes the lightsaber.
Yeah, he does.
He's got it, which I was going to say, mention, I think there's one screen. I think it was one of the first screenshots that they showed of the show is Jod coming off the ship with the kids behind him, and he has the lightsaber on his hip.
Oh
yeah.
And we haven't seen that. We haven't seen that in the show yet, obviously.
Oh my God. Yeah.
I'm going to look it up right now.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I also like that while you're looking that up, that, Wim, who has been told this entire time, don't push any buttons, don't do anything dumb, like, don't do the thing, he immediately saves them by pushing a button, essentially, to get them out of there. That made me laugh. I was like, it worked for
something.
Good
job, buddy.
You did it.
Yeah, okay, so the picture is they're walking down from the ship. Jod is in front, and the kids are behind, and he has the lightsaber. So obviously we're going to see them reunite, whether that is by force or by choice. I mean, I guess they kind of have to if they all want to get to the same planet.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's like a... But it didn't, to me, it didn't seem like Jod was going to leave them behind. He was like, nah, I just want to be in charge here.
Yeah, and he did say, like, to 33 to take them as prisoner.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. So that's possible that they could be, they're not, they don't look restrained in.
No, he probably is going to, in my head, I feel like, you know, he can't go to Aten empty-handed. He can't go there and expect to be like totally fine without having some kind of repercussion, without having the kids,
especially in the same ship.
Exactly.
Yeah,
because so, Wendell is gonna recognize the ship
for sure. And so I think that he knows he has to go back with them no matter what. So I feel like next episode is going to be him trying to get them back, get them on the ship to go home, and he's going to be like, "I'm." Like, I feel like he's mostly doing it just for, like, assurances that he will get what he wants. Like, he's a pirate at the end of the day. I don't think he's being malicious to, like, hate on these kids. I think he's doing it because he wants a like, cut of whatever is there. And so he's not trying to, like, kill these kids. He's just trying to do what he wants and get what he wants at the end of the day. So
for sure.
Yeah, that makes the most sense. So we know that they're gonna catch up with each other at some point. But we'll have a separate, well, they'll be separated, I think, maybe for a little bit this next episode. I'm interested to see where it's gonna go.
Yeah, and it's Bryce Dallas Howard next week, right?
Oh yes. I forgot. So I already know it's gonna be my fave.
Yes.
Gonna be my fave episode.
So excited. But yeah, I think that no, she doesn't. But yeah, I think about that covers it. Did we miss anything from the episode that we wanted to talk about?
Oh, we didn't really talk about the parents at the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
That was, I'm blending all of my episodes together.
No, it's okay. I also thought it was a different episode, but I just thought of it. Like the parents, yeah, they had that little moment where, Neil's mom came and gave Wendell this thing to like give them clearance for the barrier, which I thought that was interesting, because how did the kids get out of the barrier if it's like completely locked down and they needed an access code, you know? That's where I went,
my only I don't know, my question, this is why I think that the ship who would belong to TAC rented is or was at one point was the supervisor.
Yeah.
Because it would make sense if he was allowed to leave the planet.
Yeah, there's like an access code embedded in the ship. Like, yeah. I don't see either how they would have been able to leave.
It's either that or the access code is just like a rule, not an actual thing. Like, you can actually leave the barrier, but to keep everybody in place... They have that.
Oh, it could just be like a propaganda kind of scare.
Whatever.
Tactic. I totally believe that too. Yeah, because everyone is kind of like, it's all about order, like doing your thing, going to school, getting your job.
Yeah.
Not like causing any problems. So yeah, I can totally see that being a thing too.
I definitely hope we get more of like what the parents are up to next episode. Because I liked that little peek, but I'm hoping we get more.
Yeah. It's nice that we keep revisiting them, because I hope that I still kind of feel like there's going to be a parents meet the kids, and it's like the kids have been doing this thing and the parents have been doing that thing, and together they're going to figure out the mystery of Aten.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And but, I think we're going to get more. I don't know. I just feel like you don't cast like Academy Award nominated actors to like only have them be in your show very briefly.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see more of Fern's mom and his dad. And all the parents.
Yes.
Yeah.
Cool.
I think that's it.
I think we did it. As my voice is fading. just in time. Cool. Well, we did it. We love. I think we all liked this episode a lot. And I'm very excited for next week. And this is our
last 2 days.
This is our, because we're recording this on Sunday. It's going to come out on Monday. And Tuesday is episode 6. So we don't have that long to wait. And if you're listening to this, you also don't have that long to wait. But yeah, we're going to be back next week with a re-yap of episode 6. And I hope everybody has a wonderful, amazing new year. Because this is our last yap of 2024.
Oh my God. We'll see you in 2025.
Whoa.
Yeah. That's crazy. Until then, we'll yap with you next year. Goodbye, y'all.
Bye.